Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And guess what? By the Holy Spirit, He's mightily moving. And He's doing things that is off the charts. Good things for His people who love Him. And He loves all people, so He's setting up things to go well for those who love Him. He's given us His success in winning souls. And He's ready to do so. He's always been doing that. He loves His people. Every soul. At the end of all this, we're going to find out that the Lord did as much as possible to get us on board. And it's not, salvation's not without a fight. And there are people that could have been won to the Lord if people had followed the Lord like they should have. And there are people who drop the ball. But when we stop short of following God, then there's a process of things that cannot happen. And the Lord have to find others to do it. And that can take too long, longer than some people have to live. But I thank God for the things that He's doing and the people that hear Him out and put things in motion so that people can be saved. Some people will hear the word and get saved. But some people, if they see the right example, they'll change course. If they see it in time. By that I mean, if they see the life of God lived at the right point in time, they'll join with God and receive salvation. And once a man receives salvation, he's changed at the heart. He has a reference for the life of God. And that kind of reference is not in the world. When you know for a fact that Jesus saved you, you look deeper into it. There are people, I've held conversations with people recently, and they see people that never believed on Jesus Christ, they don't have a reference for who He is. And some people just associate, they say, well, I go to church, I guess I'm a Christian. Well, that's not the same thing. When people believe from the heart, it's always, salvation is always from the heart, not the mind. We can agree with God from the mind. That's good, but salvation is from the heart. You got to believe in your heart that Jesus rose, that he washed your sins away and rose from the dead to justify you. You got to believe in the Son of God from the heart. And when that happens, you have peace and you have life. And from there, you can go forward. Now, your mind will catch up later. We have to renew our mind. It don't always agree. And it can be used to the world. But as long as you believe from the heart, you have something, you have a reference for who God is. And from there, if you stay in the love of God, like Jesus is saying in his address to the seven churches, you're going to be safe. And you can't allow the things of darkness to pull you back into the vacuum of Satan. Now, the world system is anti-Christ. And it's always trying to find a problem with God to misrepresent God to mankind. That's what the world system does, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They take people off course because they cause people to change their focus. If you believe on Jesus Christ, you're going to be fine. If you keep looking at Him, you're going to grow. I was telling a friend today that I didn't grow much until I asked the Lord to teach me how to love His people. That's when I began to really develop in the things of God. Now, I was always learning. I was a forever student of the Word, but I really started learning from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, when I asked Him to teach me to love His people, and I acted on what I was taught. Now, we're going to pick up where we were. You know, we were working our way towards the Laodicean church and defining what a lukewarm Christian really is, looking at what Jesus said to His seven churches. Now, these are the seven churches in Asia Minor, and they represent the actual seven churches that the apostles established, and the ages of time, because they are parallels to what happened in every church age over time. And people say, well, will the church go through the tribulation? And the answer to that is yes. Every century has had its own share of tribulation. We're living in the age of grace. It was presented to me. I was taught that this is the age of grace. Then there's the age of, after grace, then there's 7 years of tribulation. Actually, they run neck and neck. Jesus said you'll have persecutions. If you look at what the church has gone through, the Jews tried to murder not only the Christians, but the apostles as well. Herod had James killed. That's tribulation. And the Romans, they said they buried Paul and let the lions eat his head. Now that's tribulation. They crucified Peter upside down. That's tribulation. Every century has had its Christian purges, And there are things in the works right now that the Lord is exposing that even our government is involved with. It's not good. There are people who hate the things of God. The more people love the world, the more they hate God. The more we love God, the more we hate the world system. Not the people, but the system of it. But the world is not like us. They take things, literally, they hate Christianity. They hate God. They hate Jesus. And they hate anybody that love Christ. That I know for a fact, not only do some Jews disinherit their children, and then the Muslims, they disinherit their children if they become Christians. But right here in our own backyard, there are family members that will not talk to you because you love Jesus Christ. Now, there is animosity. There is God himself. He put enmity between Satan's children and Jesus' children. People that believe on Jesus and people that love Satan's way. This is enmity. And people try to, every church I've gone to, or most of the churches, the pastors had problems with women trying to bring some sinful man into their life and marry him, thinking they can change him. And it's beyond race. It has nothing to do with what race you are. This is a problem because people don't study the word and realize that God himself is the one who put enmity between his seed and Satan's seed. And see, people look at, they say, well, I love this person. I can't live without him. You're going to have to live without him eventually. Everybody, you're going to eventually have to live without him because we don't live forever. We die. Not in this state. Now, we live forever in Christ, but eventually something's going to happen. We're going to grow old and die, or something's going to happen. Things happen to people. But you can't plot your course with somebody that's running with the devil. And you're trying to love God and run with him. God is the one that put enmity between his seed and Satan's seed. Either they're going to persuade you or you're going to persuade them. But if you live a life in one accord, you can go forward. And it's the same thing personally. You have to choose who you're going to serve and serve who you choose. And hopefully that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way to get to God. So if you choose Jesus, you choose God. If you choose against Jesus, you chose against God. And so you made a decision who you're going to serve, and your life's going to be all messed up. That's just the way it is. And I like telling people the truth of things so you can build your life. If you try it anyway, if you do anything that God said don't do, don't expect it to work. It's going to be like God said it would be. Well, I don't believe in divorce. Well, good. That's not optimal. But if you study the book of Nehemiah, they had a national divorce. The people that had taken foreign wives and husbands, they had to separate. They divorced their foreign wives. They put them away and went their way because they were doing demonic things, and the people of God wanted to do godly things. You can't allow sin in your life and expect it to work right. Now, and the Lord, this is something the Lord put in motion years ago. If people would just trust him, they'd know these things. If you try to do something that he said don't do, you're going to find out that what he said was true, and what you thought was going to work will not. And that's how it is. Now, last time we looked at, we studied first the church at Ephesus, and we talked about the church at Smyrna, and then the church at Pergamos. And the Lord had problems with each one. But he always ended saying, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches," which means that this word is for us just like it was for them. Now today we'll start with the church at Thyatira. And we may have covered this one, I can't remember, but it's a good idea to go back and look it over again. God may say, give us more information. Verse 18, "And unto the church, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, faith, and patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first." We did cover this one, because I remember that, the last more than the first. He said his works over again. They had works. And then he said, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce, my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." Then he said, "And I gave her a space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." Now we're getting somewhere. He gave her a space to repent. She said she was a prophet, and then she teached the people of God to she teach and seduce the servants of God to commit fornication, and eat things sacrificed to idols. So God's going to, he said that he was going to cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, and he said, "I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Now, if this kind of sin develops and grows in a person, it can cause them to become lukewarm. Accepting the things of Jezebel, of all people. Accepting the sin of Jezebel along with the things of God. Now, what's going to happen if you try to do that? You love and you hear God's word, and then you love and receive the opposite of what God said, and you have tolerance for it in your life. Now, the word tolerance, people want you to be, the world, they're clumsy. They want you to be tolerant to their sin. You don't ever have to be tolerant to somebody's sin. If we're tolerant, we're tolerant to the people. We love the soul, not the sin. The sin is going to get them dead and anybody who transfers into it. So, the things that Jezebel was doing, she was acting like leaven. Leavening people's heart with a little sin here and a little sin there and flirting with it until people get on board with it and they start looking into it. Their focus changed. Then they try. Now, the Lord taught me something. If you love him and you love his will, he said, remember, it takes a little bit of hatred to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, the reason I say that is because God gave us everything we need, even other trees and the tree of life. We don't need the tree of that he set aside for himself. That's like, I gave this analogy when the Lord taught me this, that I said, imagine a wealthy man, and he goes into a city, and there's a lot of homeless people, and he said, "I'm going to do something about this," and he creates a park and make facilities where they can shower, places where they can park their tents and stay until they get on their feet. Then he builds a business and hires some of them that want to work. And they begin to develop again and build their life back. And he invite ministers to preach, and they get to help the people get off whatever caused them to be homeless, get off drugs, alcohol. And then if they just lost a good job and they mismanaged their money or something and lost their home, now they're homeless. They're still good people, wonderful people, but he made a way to help them. And then they can start working again and doing things that to get themselves back on track. And then they start working and they start prospering again. And then they're homeowners again. And their schools the schools are filled with their children again. And then he said, "Well, let's do a banquet in my mansion." And he invites them to his mansion for a banquet. You know, they can eat and socialize. And while they're there, some of them decide, "Well, hey, he's got a lot of wealth. He's got a lot of wealth in his house," and they start stealing his silverware and things of value. They put it in their pocket. This is what it's like to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Somebody that tried to help you went out of their way to help you. Then you steal from them. This is sin. And then when I was talking about this, the Lord taught me something. While I was talking about this on the website, I forgot which one it was, but he said it takes a leaven of hatred to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he told me this. He said when he do the rapture, he's going to only take with him people, if they were in Adam's position all over again, they won't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They won't steal. They won't commit adultery, fornication. They hate witchcraft. They're not going to cross the line, the kind of people that go up in the rapture. So the church is going to be raptured, and there are people that got saved and they do cross the line, they're going to be left behind, because this the church at Thyatira, he said that they that follow the way, I read it again so I don't mess it up. He said they that commit adultery with here it is, 22. "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, Jezebel, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation." Now that's the worst of all. That's the sum of tribulations. This tells me that people in the church age can end up going through the great tribulation. Also, they can avoid the great tribulation. So, and the Lord put the tribulation in his own power, how it's going to work. The rapture has nothing to do with the tribulation, and the tribulation has nothing to do with the rapture. They're separate things. And the timing of the rapture is up to God. I believe it's up to, he put it in his own power. And what Jesus said, he put it in his own power. We don't know the day or the hour, and neither does Jesus. So the Father put that in his own power. But those who end up getting raptured, they won't go into Jezebel's bed. And they won't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil if they were in Adam's position. And they'll do things that's right. They live a holy life. They stick with their first love. And they don't let any form of leaven cause them to be spit out of God's mouth. Now that's biblical. All of what I just said is biblical. Whether you believe in only the pre-tribulation rapture or the post-tribulation rapture. Now, there is a rapture because Jesus said they'd be caught away. Paul said it too and described it. So you can't say there's no rapture. Nobody can and be biblical about it. But the timing, there are ways you can prove your point, but that doesn't mean it's accurate. But I believe the Lord has that in his power, and it's avoidable. The Great Tribulation, it seems like it's avoidable. If we don't do the dumb stuff, if we don't do satanic things. But then there's a lot of people, God has raised up ministers to minister to people that will be going through the tribulation. And he raised up people to warn people like me not to go through the tribulation. Then he said, beyond the tribulation problem, he said he said, "I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now, that's a true fact. He's going to give. That's one thing we can bank on. He's going to give us according to our works. So I want my works to be God's works. I want my heart to be like God's heart. I want my desires to be like God's, not like Satan's. Satan, I don't want him to have any stock in my desires. And that's why I say I hate everything that's of Satan. Everything that is of Satan has got to go. Everything that's like Satan has got to go. And everything that's like God, I want it fully implemented in my life. And then I say I will do all that's in his heart so that I don't mess up. I don't trust Thurston. I trust Jesus. He's my Savior. Now, and he said, but I say unto you, but unto you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. The only way to keep his works until the end is to love his works and do them as a way of life. And it, you know, it don't matter when the boss comes and why. When he comes, he gonna catch you working. I worked at a grocery store, and I would sweep and clean up until I was done. And I would be back there working. And he'd come back there, and he'd watch me, and I would never stop working. And I'd turn around, he'd be smiling. And one time we cleaned up everything, me and Barry, we were cleaning up. And we swept the last little dust on the dustpan. And then we stood up and talked. And then he came in and saw us. He thought we were goofing off. But nevertheless, it's a good feeling to know that when King Jesus comes, if I was happy that my boss liked my work, I'm going to be very excited that Jesus loves my work. And he know what I'm doing, and I know what he's doing because we talk. And we talk a lot. And I noticed that every time he give me something to do, and I do it, he give me something greater to do. It's like, you got to this glory, now go to this glory. So that's why I say I will do all this in his heart, because I know he has good things ahead. All I got to do is be very faithful today so that I can do what he has in mind, what he has in his heart. I'm calling forth those things which are not as though they were. Now, I was trained to do this by wonderful men of God, and I thank God for them. I'm standing on their shoulders today. What they said made sense. A lot of people use those teachings to get stuff, but I use it to grow and to develop in the things of God. I fill my heart with the word of God so that I can do all this in his heart, because God is good and I trust him with my life. Then he said in verse 28, verse 26 again, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. That's a bonus. I do these things because I want people to live. Whatever rewards I get, that's a bonus. But I'm looking at souls. That's the main thing. I want to get as many people out of here as possible. Satan has done everything he possibly could to aggravate my life. And I want to undo what he done against me and help people undo what he done against them. And then, lastly, I want revenge. I want God to cause me to do something and say whatever I need to say and do whatever I need to do to wreck Satan's plan. I desire for the people of God. See, the Lord taught me to think big, and I do. I think big. I got a good pastor. He said, think big. So I asked the Lord for something big. I said, help people. I want you to be able to rapture so many people that it just destroys Satan's plan. It makes Satan look foolish, the people that are left here. And we know the people are going to be left. The last harvest is the grapes of wrath. Those are the people, that's the wicked people. God's going to destroy them when he comes back. Jesus is coming back to fight, and he's going to squash the grapes of wrath. But the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, if we could get more people in the barley and the wheat harvest as possible, there'll be less people for Satan to persecute, more people on God's side. It'll be harder for that'll make it harder for Satan in the days of the great tribulation. And I'm very interested in that, whether I have to live through it or not. But as long as I'm on this earth, I want to do everything I can to aggravate Satan. But the point is not just to aggravate him. It's to get as many people off on line with God and offline with Satan, which I know will aggravate him. And I want to do that. I'm interested. And I hope you are too. And it's just a prayer away. God can take you a little bit and do a lot with it. He loves to do that. He loves to solve millions of problems with a fraction of one. He'll use part of your life to put things in motion that will affect millions of people. And I'm not just talking stuff. I'm saying this for a fact. Kenneth Hagin has sold millions of books. Charles Capps, probably millions of books. Kenneth Copeland, millions of books. Millions of thoughts. Millions of people. You know, and God can take something you do, and it can assist in the outcome of millions and millions and millions of people. Your prayers avail much. And don't look at, well, I don't know if I can believe that. As long as you're in faith about what God puts you, the assignment or whatever he give you to do, whether it's in a session, whether it's telling somebody a word, if you do it in faith, look what Jesus did with the little boy's lunch. He fed 5,000 people. Now, how much more can he feed people with a thought from the Holy Ghost if it comes through your lips? And don't be ashamed because you're washed in the blood. Don't think it's strange to be equal with God in the work that God gives you to do. Jesus didn't think it was strange for God to work through him. You shouldn't either. We should be like him. And all the propaganda preaching people do, the freakers, seeker friendly churches. It is freaky. Some of the stuff people do and preach. You don't have to be like them. They fail. You don't have to fail. Just because somebody else fails. I feel sorry. I don't want none of my brothers and sisters to fall into the traps and the harnesses of Satan. I want all of us to go forward. You know, I don't like to see my brothers and sisters making a fool of themselves, teaching things that God didn't sanction. That doesn't have to happen. That's very unnecessary. But as we go forward in the Lord, we have to remember to take out the trash. Jezebel is the trash of Thyatira. Let's look at the next one. And then, I put in every church, I use the colors that come with this Bible app. So you can color your scriptures. I put Jesus in the red, which is the closest thing to it, is this pink looking color. Then there's a dark purple. That usually represents sin. So in the church of Pergamos, the doctrine of Balaam is the trash. So you got to throw that trash out of your life. And then in the church of Smyrna, well, they didn't have no trash, did they? Nope. No trash in Smyrna. They threw that trash away, whatever it was. Then in Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, he said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." So leaving your first love is definitely the trash. What causes a person to lose their first love? That was trash. If you don't throw out the trash, it can cause you to lose your first love. And if you lose your first love, that's your focus. That's what connects you to heaven and the perfect will of God. Your first love. With everything within you, always keep your first love on board. Make it stronger. Let it develop. And don't let people snatch it from you. no matter what kind of pressure people put on you to do this and that, and churches put people on in pressure, and the focus of the ministry and the success of the ministry can become more important than your relationship. Don't let that happen. You can't serve God without a relationship. Ministry is going to be ministry. You can do as good as you can, and God will bless you with what you're able to do, but keep your relationship first. You can go to heaven with your relationship intact, but doing ministry works can't make you go to heaven. That's something we desire to do from the heart, which is great. But we have to consider the things of God and do things God's way. And keep your first love intact. Throw out whatever trash you have to. And you have to understand that your first love is under attack. Satan is trying to attack it, telling him he can't have it. And ask God to help you. See, I do things in His strength. Ask the Lord to help you strengthen everything that's of Him. If you do these things, you're going to win. And you're going to win big. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. And I love Him. He will help you to grow from glory to glory, just like you're supposed to, just like you're able to. And you can do all that's in His heart.